Where's this? Sorry. Okay, so we're recording. All right, so before we start, so like everybody's been saying, so thanks, first of all, a grace Yashikah to Reb Ezra Wolgelenter for all the technical support, helping with the emails and helping with the conference call and the computer, and for helping me with the handout. And I just want to make sure that everybody got a handout over the JCor or over the email. Okay. And we're recording now. So if everybody wants to mute their phone or that way we don't get the static. Okay, and we can start. Okay. So I titled this year. This is the third in the series. If everybody can mute their phone because we're getting some static. Okay, thank you. So this shiur is titled Trufos. So the Hebrew word for medicine is trufos, and cosmetica. So that's a Hebrewized English word. Diyesh lahem chashash chametz bePesach. So the question is, we always hear about products. So makeup, soaps, medicines, toiletries, shampoos, other items, other products. Do they require a Passover hashgacha or not? Are they allowed to contain ingredients of chametz or not? So let's learn the sources together, and we'll see how the different opinions evolve from the sources. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that technically everything is permitted. Medicine, soap, shampoo, it's all technically permitted. Especially during extenuating situations, you would be allowed to own them and use them. There are some opinions that want to be strict. They want to be a little stricter just in honor of Pesach. We always try to be machmir when it comes to Pesach. But the letter of the law is that it will be permitted. So let's examine, let's learn the sources together and see how the different conclusions that the later authorities come to. So the first source is a Gemara in Psachim, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So the Gemara says that if a person burns the chametz, so it's mutter bahana, you're permitted to derive benefits. Now we're all familiar with burning the chametz, but there's a very important distinction that we have to make here. So the Gemara says, Loi tzricha shecharchu kodem zman. So the novelty of the ruling that if you burn the chametz, it becomes permitted to benefit. The novelty of the ruling is that you singed it. Charchoi means that you singed it before the zman. So what that means is we know that chametz becomes forbidden to benefit at chatzos of Erev Pesach, midday of Erev Pesach. So these are halachic hours. So you have to really look at the charts to figure out exactly what the time would that would be in our time. But it's midoraisa, the chametz becomes forbidden at midday. And the rabbis added an extra hour before. So the sixth hour, which is the hour right before midday, so the chametz is already forbidden to derive any benefit. So the halacha is like this. The halacha is that if somebody singed, he burnt his chametz before the time that the chametz becomes prohibited, the halacha is that it's mutter. So the Gemara says, the Omar Rava says, charchu kodem zman. If a person singed his chametz before the time of the prohibition sets in, then you're allowed to derive benefit even after the time. Now, what does that mean that he singed the chametz? So Pirish Rashi explains, kigon shecharchu ba'or yafeh, he burnt it in the fire well, koidem zmanoi, before the time that it became prohibited, shebatel taima umar isai. So its taste, the flavor of the chametz is nullified, and the appearance of the chametz is nullified. It no longer looks or tastes like chametz. So the halacha is you're allowed to derive benefit. Tosfos says a little bit more precisely, he says a little bit more in detail, kigon shenifsal milecho lekelev, that as long as you burnt the chametz before the zman, before the time of the prohibition, and it's no longer edible even for a dog or for an animal, so then the halacha is that it becomes permitted to use over Pesach, debeinyan acher, in any other way, loy havishari, it would not be permitted, dumi de pas she'ifsha, just like bread that's spoiled. So imagine if a person has bread that's spoiled, and it's no longer edible, even for an animal, for a dog, the halacha is that you can keep that bread over chametz, over Pesach. See, even though the bread is pure chametz, but since the bread was rendered inedible, even to an animal, before the zman, before the prohibition sets in, the halacha is you're allowed to derive benefit from that pure chametz, from that bread that spoiled, that rotted before the zman. So in item Beis, I explained it a little bit more clearly, that the halacha is like this. If a person has chametz over Pesach, real chametz, edible chametz during Pesach, the halacha is you have to destroy the chametz. It's forbidden to own the chametz, and you have to destroy the chametz. Since the prohibition already set in, so the chametz is forbidden to own, and it's forbidden to derive any benefit. You have to be mavayir it, you have to get rid of it until it's utterly destroyed. To the extent, can you benefit from the ashes? Imagine if I put the chametz, I find the loaf of bread, I find the roll, I find the cake in my house on chametz. I have to utterly destroy the chametz, I have to burn the chametz. So imagine if I burn the chametz, can I derive benefit from the ashes, from the resulting ashes? So even that is subject to a dispute. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to derive benefit from the ashes. And according to the Rabbanan, you would not even be allowed to derive benefit from the ashes. So I'm just trying to bring out the point that there's a very important distinction here. If you first destroy the chametz on Pesach, meaning that you had chametz on Pesach and you destroy the chametz on Pesach, then you have to utterly destroy it and you have to reduce it to ashes. There wouldn't be any question about being able to use the chametz. However, this is the novelty of the Gemara in Pesachim on Chaf Aleph on the base. If the person singed the chametz before the Zman, before the Isser set in, before the prohibition set in, as long as it's no longer edible, even to an animal, you're allowed to keep ownership of this chametz over Pesach, and you're allowed to derive benefit from the chametz over Pesach. So that's a very important distinction. Chametz on Pesach, edible chametz on Pesach, has to be utterly destroyed. So there really wouldn't be any issue of using those ingredients or using the derivatives because it has to be utterly destroyed. But if the chametz was already rendered inedible from before Pesach, then you're allowed to use the whatever is left of the chametz as an ingredient or something. You'd be allowed to keep it, own it, and use it over Pesach. So that's an important distinction. That's the novelty of the Gemara and of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Even though you're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, and even though if you do find chametz on Pesach, it has to be utterly destroyed, but if the chametz was already rendered inedible before Pesach, before the Zman of the Isser sets in, then you're allowed to keep whatever's left of that inedible chametz, and you're allowed to own it over Pesach. So that's why the Gemara says that even a loaf of bread that's pure chametz through and through, if it rots before Pesach and it's no longer edible even to a dog, to an animal, you'd be allowed to keep that rotten bread over Pesach and you'd be allowed to use it for some sort of whatever it would be. The Gemara talks about another example. The Gemara says, if you have a chametz, you have a piece of dough, and you designate it not to be food, you designate it to be like a bench, like you have a big loaf of bread that's stale and you just designate it to be a bench, some other purpose, a paperweight, some other purpose, then you'd be allowed to keep it over Pesach and use it over Pesach. The only time you have to destroy the chametz is if the chametz was considered to be food on the onset of the prohibition, food for a human being or at least food for an animal consumption, fit for consumption to an animal, then it would have to be destroyed. But if the chametz was no longer considered food before this man of the Isser sets in, you're allowed to keep the chametz over Pesach and you're allowed to derive benefit. Now, the Rush goes a little bit further. The Rush in the back of the Gemara says the following. Yesh sheroitzem loymar. So there were those who wanted to say, lav davka hano, that if you have chametz that was rendered inedible before Pesach, not only can you derive benefit from it, but you're even allowed to eat it on Pesach, even though it's not edible, but you'd be allowed to ingest it over Pesach, because it's afro ba'alma, it's dust of the earth. It's not food, it's not edible, it's not even fit for the consumption of a dog, of an animal. So if you would decide to swallow it, it would be permitted because it's dirt, it's just dust, it's nothing. But the Rush argues. The Rush says, "Veloy mistaber." That's not probable, it's not likely. Why? The afal pi de batla das ha'eichel etzel kol adam, because even though, says the Rush, nobody in his right mind would eat rotten bread or eat something that's inedible, why would you want to eat it? But so even though it's batla das ha'eichel etzel kol adam, even though somebody who ingests this would be considered strange in the eyes of people, nobody would consider this to be food. So the point that the Rush is making is that it's not food, and nobody considers it to be food. So presumably, if I decide to be different and swallow it, It shouldn't be considered that I'm eating chametz because it's not considered food anymore. Nevertheless, says the Rush, mikom makom, nevertheless, kiven de'iu ka'ochele, since this individual is ingesting it, he's eating it, it's forbidden. And say so writes the Rav HaBartzaloni, says the Rush, and this is a quote from this Rav Bartzaloni, v'hani mili demutri b'hano, this only applies that you're allowed to derive benefit from the inedible chametz from before Pesach, la'achazman, after the time on Pesach, avu ba'achilalo. But the Rav Bartzaloni agrees to the Rush's conclusion that it's still forbidden to eat it. The Rambam, in Hilchas Chametz and Matzah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, says the same thing. V'zel Shoyne, this is a quote from the Rambam. Davreshin is Arav by Chametz. If Chametz gets mixed into something, the Einu Meichel Adam Klal, and that substance is not a Meichel Adam, it was never meant to be food, it's inedible, or She'einu Meichel Kol Adam, or it's not the Meichel of Kol Adam, so in other words, it's not edible for anyone, or it's not normal food, Kegoin Hatriyuk. So I saw in the Achronim, now the Haintik of Poiskim, the nowadays Poiskim, they say, we don't know exactly what this triak is, but this triak was some kind of a medicine. So if the chametz is not edible, and nobody would eat it, or most people wouldn't eat it, afopi shemuta lekaimo, even though the halacha is you're allowed to own it over Pesach, also la'ochle, but you're not allowed to eat it ad achar Pesach until after Passover. Even if there's only a small, minute amount of inedible chametz in this potion, in this mixture, whatever it is, hareza osa la'achlo, nevertheless, it's forbidden to eat. So what the Rush and the Rambam establish is that they are narrowing, they're qualifying the halacha of the Gemara. The Gemara's halacha was that if you have chametz, even a loaf of bread that was rendered inedible from before Pesach, it was not even edible for an animal, it was not fit for even for animal consumption, it was pasul from achilas kelev. The halacha is it's not considered to be chametz anymore, and you're allowed to own it over Pesach, you can keep it over Pesach. Nevertheless, both the Rush and the Rambam come to the same conclusion that you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because even though it's not food for anyone else, you're still not allowed to eat it. Now, what's the why? Why can't you eat it? So the Mishnah Brura in Taf Mem Beis, Sifkat and Chaf Aleph explains, Asur la'achle, it's forbidden to eat it, says the Mishnah Brura, Av she'enu roi la'achila, even though granted it's not fit for consumption, mikol makoim, nevertheless, kiven dehu achloi, since this individual is eating it, achshave, so I put the word achshave in bold, this is the key word of the poiskim. Achshave means you deemed it significant. You were machshave, you made it chashuv. Like we say a person is chashuv, you rendered this chametz chashuv. So the chametz, technically, objectively, most people would not consider the chametz edible, even fit for animal consumption. But since you decided to ingest it, since you ate the chametz, achshave, so you deem the chametz significant. You consider the chametz to be significant. So the Taz, the Mishnah Brura brings from the Taz that this is a rabbinic prohibition. So midoy raisa, the Gemara says, once the chametz was rendered inedible from before Pesach, the iser, the prohibition of chametz, was never took effect, and it's not considered to be chametz. Nevertheless, it's rabbinically forbidden to eat it, says the Mishnah Brura explains. So the Rush and the Rambam both agree that it's rabbinically forbidden to eat it. Why is it rabbinically forbidden to eat it? Because achshave, because you deemed the chametz significant, you considered the chametz to be food, even though most people wouldn't have considered it to be food. But since you swallowed the chametz, you rendered your own personal inedible chametz, you rendered it edible, you consider it to be food. So legabe you, from your perspective, the rabbis considered it, they treated it as if it is edible because, lo and behold, because you ate it. That is what we said in item hay. So that's the sum total. So just to quickly just summarize, if you have chametz on Pesach, the chametz is usur to derive any benefit, and you have to utterly destroy it. That's not what we're discussing here. We're discussing that the chametz was rendered inedible from before Pesach, not even fit for animal consumption. You're allowed to keep that chametz through Pesach because it's not considered to be food. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Rosh and the Rambam agree that you're not allowed to ingest it, because if you ingest it, you are achshaveh, you're rendering it significant, you are treating it in your own little world, you're treating it as food by the fact that you ingested it. Okay, so now the Trumas Hadeshin that I brought, I quoted it here in item Vav. The Trumas Hadeshin had a very interesting shiloh, and this really serves as the basis for our discussion. Can you have soap or shampoo or even medicine that has chametz ingredients in it? So here's the Trumas Hadeshin. Kuf Chaf Tes. So the Trumas Hadeshin was asked, are you allowed to use ink that was processed from chametz from before Pesach? So apparently in the old days, they used to make ink out of shecher se'orim. They used to make ink out of barley, out of beer that was made from barley. So the liquid, the beer, is obviously chametz. It's made out of barley. That's chametz. And they processed it into ink. Can you use that ink on Pesach? Or do we say that there's chametz ingredients in the ink? So the Trumas Hadeshin answers, v'zela shoyna, yired ishari lichtova. So the Trumas Hadeshin says, it appears to me that it should be permitted to use that chametz ink. The ink was made with beer, but with barley beer, so the ink is clearly has chametz ingredients in it. Nevertheless, says the Trumas Hadeshin, it appears to me that you would be allowed to use that ink on Pesach. Venire, says the Trumas Hadeshin, venire, if you don't mind muting the phone, if you don't mind, thank you. Venire, that this ink that was cooked with other ingredients, samamonim, other chemicals, and the other ingredients in the ink are bitter, more than a poisonous herb, rosh and la'ana, like a poisonous herb. So, vaday nifsal mishtiyas kelev kodem Pesach. So this ink that was manufactured from the chametz beer, you added other ingredients into the beer. So that certainly rendered the ink inedible, even to a dog, from before Pesach. So this fits exactly into what we've been saying, that this ink is not considered to be food because it was rendered inedible from before Pesach. Now, there's even an extra novelty here, that it was rendered inedible from before Pesach because of the other ingredients that you added into it, the other chemicals that are bitter herbs, and as it's more bitter than Rosh and Lahana. So therefore, it's kecharchoi kehoidim zmanoi. So effectively, this ink, that the base of the ink was the chametz beer, was rendered as if you singed it, as if you burnt it before Pesach. It doesn't make a difference why it's inedible before Pesach. As long as it was rendered inedible, it's as if you burnt it from before Pesach, and it's mutter b'hano la'acher zman, and you're allowed to keep it even after the time that the prohibition sets in. Now, the Trumas Hadeshin adds in a very interesting caveat here. Sometimes people tend to put their pencil or their pen into their mouth while they're thinking in order to hold the pen. So the Trumas Hadeshin addresses that. Afilu mi shesam hakolmis l'toich piv, even if the person puts the quill into his mouth, lekach shasha chilo, that's not considered that you're eating chametz on Pesach, says the Trumas Hadeshin. And I quoted the words of the Trumas Hadeshin. The hod da asri ge'oinim deli'il, because this that the great sages prohibit you from eating the inedible chametz, right? Because the Rosh and the Rambam say that although the chametz is permitted to own because it was rendered inedible from before Pesach, nevertheless, you're not allowed to eat it, says the Trumas Hadeshin, this that the Chachamim forbade you from eating, this inedible chametz that was charchoi koidim zmanui ba'achila, hainu mishum, so this is where the Mishnah Berurah got what he said, kivin de machshvinon, since you deemed it chashiv, since you deemed it significant, and for whatever reason you decided to eat that inedible chametz, so the rabbis, they treated it that from your perspective, you obviously consider the chametz edible. Certainly you consider the chametz that you're eating fit for animal consumption. That's what the Mishnah Berurah said. That's how the Mishnah Berurah explained the Rosh and the Rambam. So the Trumas Hadeshin says, the only reason why it's forbidden rabbinically to eat the chametz that was rendered inedible is because if you eat it, then you obviously consider it edible. But says Trumas Hadeshin, this early commentary, b'mash and noisin hakolmas bepiv, when a person inadvertently puts the, you know, unwittingly puts the quill into his mouth, kedei lahachzika, to hold the pen or something like that, b'agav zeh toyen min hadyo, and because of that he inadvertently tastes the ink, below kavana, without any intent, loy machshavin and bohamidi, you are not deeming the chametz significant. Why are you putting the pen into your mouth? You're putting the pen into your mouth because you're unwittingly, you're thinking, you're toying with the pen, you're fiddling with the pen, you want to hold the pen, so you're putting the pen into your mouth, and you might inadvertently swallow some of this ink. Now, even though the ink has a chametz base, the ink was made with the barley, the beer barley that was chametz before Pesach, but the chametz was really rendered inedible. So the chametz is not considered to be food, and it's permitted to own it over Pesach. Now, it's true that the Rosh and the Rambam said that you're not allowed to ingest the chametz that was rendered inedible from before Pesach. That's true. But that's only because when you eat it, you made a conscious decision to eat the quote-unquote inedible chametz. So you are rendering it edible. You obviously consider it edible. So the Taz explains that that's a rabbinic prohibition. But if inadvertently you put the chametz in your mouth and you even swallow it, you're not deeming the chametz significant. You just are eating it inadvertently. You're just playing with something else, and you ended up swallowing some ingredient that has chametz in it. But the chametz was inedible. The chametz was already, we already decided that the chametz was not considered to be food. It was already rendered inedible before Pesach. This that you're swallowing the chametz, that's totally inadvertent, and that does not deem the chametz significant. So this Trumas Hadeshin serves as the basis for all of the heterim for using cosmetics and soaps and dish soap and wrapping your food in paper towel that might have cornstarch on it. All of these products that have some chametz or kitnius on it, because they were rendered inedible before Pesach, it's not considered chametz. Now, although the Rosh and the Rambam say you're not allowed to swallow this inedible chametz, but the Trumas Hadeshin makes this very important distinction. That's only because by virtue of swallowing the inedible chametz, you're considering it edible. But if it's only inadvertent, if it wasn't on purpose, if you didn't eat it in a food kind of a way, you only inadvertently swallowed it, that does not deem it significant, and it's totally permitted. You did not violate anything. So that was the ruling of the Trumas Hadeshin, and this is brought lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch, that the ink that was made with the chametz base is permitted to own and use over Pesach, because it was rendered inedible, it's not considered to be chametz anymore, and the Trumas Hadeshin even takes it further, that even if inadvertently you swallow some of the ink when you're fiddling with your pen, it's not a problem, because the chametz is not considered chametz, and your eating is not considered an act of eating. It does not deem this ink to be a significant food. You didn't swallow it as a food, you were just playing. Based on this, the Igris Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Simon Tzadik Beis, says that even without sakana, this is a quote from a tshuva, the Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was speaking about taking medicine that might contain a chametz ingredient. Now, sometimes the medicine contains a chametz ingredient because the pill, let's say you're talking about taking a pill, sometimes the pill was made with a flour or some kind of ingredient that holds the medicine together, but the chametz ingredient was not an active ingredient. Sometimes the chametz ingredient is the actual active ingredient. Rav Moshe Feinstein does not seem to make any distinction about that. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was talking about someone who had an operation, and they were required to take an antibiotic that had some chametz ingredient in the medicine. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's not a problem. First of all, it's not a problem because if there's no other medicine available, it's sakanas nefesh, it's pikuach nefesh. You're taking the medicine in order to prevent infection on any of the inner organs. That qualifies as a bona fide pikuach nefesh. But then Rav Moshe Feinstein goes on to say, af below sakana, even if it wouldn't be an issue of pikuach nefesh, ein cheshash, there's no concern. So why not? Why are you allowed to take the medicine that has chametz in the medicine, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein? The kvar nevatol kaidem Pesach. So he applies this halacha with the Trumas Hadeshin, because the chametz was already nullified before Pesach, mishum oichel. It's no longer a food. It's no longer edible. It's been processed into a chemical. V'achshevei, what about the fact that I'm swallowing the pill? Aren't I ingesting the food? What about the fact that the Rosh and the Rambam say that you're not allowed to ingest the inedible chametz? So, says Rav Moshe, along the same lines as the Trumas Adeshen. He compares the medicine to the ink of the Trumas Adeshen. You are not taking the medicine as a food by taking by swallowing this pill. You are not declaring that the food, that the pill is edible. You're not declaring that the chametz ingredient in the pill is considered food. The whole reason why you're not allowed to swallow a chametz ingredient that was rendered inedible is because the act of swallowing itself deems it to be significant, because you're treating it as a food, like the Trumas Adeshen says. But the fact that I'm taking a pill does not deem it significant, says Rav Moshe, af dvarim morim umu'usim noitim l'refua. Because if somebody would be convinced that an ingredient that was bitter would give him relief, would give him a cure, see, he would take it. So the fact that you're swallowing this as a medicine by no means is a declaration that for you it's edible. You would be willing even to swallow something totally inedible if it would have medicinal qualities, if it would give you relief. So the fact that I'm taking this chametz pill does not at all deem it significant, and therefore it would be totally mutter, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, even if it wouldn't be for sakana, even if it wouldn't be an issue of pikuach nefesh, it would be mutter to take medicine that has a chametz ingredient in it. So again, the key heter here is because it was rendered inedible before Pesach, so it's mutter to derive benefit. The only potential issue would be the fact. The only potential issue would be the fact that you are ingesting something that's chametz and you're deeming it significant. So Rav Moshe Feinstein compares taking it as a medicine to the swallowing of the ink of the Trumas Adeshen. You're not swallowing the medicine because you're declaring it to be edible as a food. You're simply taking the medicine for its medicinal qualities. And you would be willing to swallow even something bitter if you would be convinced that it would give you relief. So in no way is a declaration, it does not deem it significant that it's considered to be a food. Now the Chazon Ish in Orech Chaim Kuftes Zayin Oisches says the same thing, but there's actually a subtle difference here. And people wonder if the Chazon Ish was explicitly making this distinction, or if it was just L'Rav Chedemilse, if he was only speaking loosely. So now look at the Chazon Ish's words. It's similar to Rav Moshe Feinstein, but there's a little difference. This is a quote from the Chazon Ish. Im hein me'uravim bedvarim she'enon royal achilas adam. If the medicine is mixed, is combined with ingredients that were no longer edible, ein behem ishum chametz. There's no issue of chametz. K'din nifsal mechilas adam, because it was rendered inedible to a person. Kivon de'ef shel hafra kemach. So he makes an interesting point. Number one, it would be very difficult. It would be impossible to separate the flour from the pill. I think he's discussing a case where the active ingredient was one thing, and the pill was made up of a flour. So number one, it's impossible to separate the flour from the ingredients that render it inedible. Number two, it's not roi l'chameya. You wouldn't be able to use this pill as a yeast. So it in no way could it leaven, could it ferment a dough. So it's not considered chametz anymore. Umutu l'boilem b'pesach, you would be allowed to swallow it on Pesach, l'refua, as a medicine. V'af l'may d'mashma me'achroinim, even though the achroinim, so that he calls the Rosh and the Rambam and the Trumas Adeshen achronim, the lecho lechatchila aser afilu chametz shenipsal mechilas kelim. Even though the achronim, the later authorities, right, they're not such later authorities. The Rosh and the Rambam were earlier authorities. The Chazon Ish refers to the Trumas Adeshen, Mishneh Berurah. Even though the halacha is you're not allowed to ingest chametz, even if it was rendered inedible, nevertheless, and here's the same thing that Rav Moshe said, but there's a slight difference. Al yedei taruvis shar dvarim mutter. But if you're taking the pill for the medicinal active ingredient, it's permitted. We cannot say that you're deeming the chametz significant, the daite alasamim, because your das, your intent, is on the active ingredient. So I wrote here in the brackets that if you really look at the wording of the Chazon Ish precisely, he's really saying a different idea than Rav Moshe Feinstein was. Rav Moshe Feinstein was saying that even if the active ingredient itself was the chametz, and you specifically are ingesting the chametz, but Rav Moshe Feinstein made the point, you're not ingesting the chametz because you are deeming it edible. You're not taking the chametz because you're declaring it significant. You're taking the chametz as a medicine, and you would be willing even to swallow a bitter herb if it would have medicinal qualities. So the eating is not an issue. The Chazon Ish, he says slightly different. He says you're primarily swallowing the pill for the active ingredient. And any chametz ingredient that comes along with it is only by the way. It's not deeming it significant. So the wording of the Chazon Ish would imply that if the active ingredient itself was the chametz, then perhaps taking the pill would be an achshavei. It would be deeming the active ingredient significant. So even though technically the ingredient is not edible, and even an animal would not want to eat it, it lost all flavor and lost all toyar, it lost all semblance to being a food, but since you're taking it, you're ingesting it for the purpose of the quality of the medicine, the chametz ingredient, it would be forbidden. That's what a strict reading of the Chazon Ish would imply. But most Achrayim say that the Chazon Ish himself didn't really mean it that way. The Chazon Ish just means loosely the way Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was only talking about a case because that was the derech, that the chametz ingredient is usually just the filler, it's not the actual active ingredient. But perhaps even the Chazon Ish would agree that even if the chametz is the active ingredient, it would be permitted because taking something as a medicine is itself not an act of achshavei. So that is Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion, and that's probably what the Chazon Ish means as well, that a pill, although it contains a chametz ingredient, would be permitted because the pill is considered inedible. Even an animal would not eat it as a food. It doesn't have any taste or flavor. It would not eat it as a food. And the active ingredient was nespatel. The active ingredient is not considered chametz anymore. And the eating it itself is not an act of achshavei. It's not considered that you're deeming it significant. Rav Moshe Feinstein also expanded this heter, and this is really even less of a novelty, that you're allowed to use creams or lotions that might contain a base of chametz. Sometimes they contain an alcohol that would be considered chametz. Rav Moshe Feinstein permits it because since the alcohol, the chametz content, was nifsal from achilas kelev, since before Pesach it was rendered inedible because of all the other chemicals that are in the lotion, it's mutter to derive benefit from it, and it's not considered chametz. And you'd be allowed to shmir, you'd be allowed to apply, to anoint yourself with this cream, because you're allowed to derive benefit from the chametz that was nifsal from before Pesach. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he addresses the issue, what about sicha kishtiyah? What about the fact that anointing yourself is considered drinking? The Gemara says on Yom Kippur that you're not allowed to anoint yourself. We know it's one of the five inuyim of Yom Kippur, and the Gemara compares anointing yourself to drinking. So taking the olive oil and anointing yourself with the oil, in those days they used to use olive oil, that would be like an act of drinking, the Gemara says. So it's really prohibited because sicha is kishtiyah. The Gemara also says that if you have oil that's truma, so you would not be allowed, a non-kohen would not be allowed to anoint himself with the truma oil because sicha is kishtiyah. So the Gemara has this cryptic concept that anointing yourself with an oil is considered on some level like you're drinking. So Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses that, and he says that Rabbeinu Tam Tosfos in Maseches Nida explains that oil, anointing yourself with oil, is considered drinking, That anointing yourself with oil is only a special prohibition on Yom Kippur or regarding Truma, but it doesn't apply to other things. So, for example, the Bir Halacha brings in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Chavav, that if a person has an oil that's based on Chelev, it was made out of forbidden fats, something that you wouldn't be allowed to eat, nevertheless, you would be allowed to anoint yourself with it because ordinarily, anointing yourself with something is not considered drinking. That expression of the Gemara, that anointing is considered drinking, applies exclusively to oil, and it only applies to Yom Kippur, and it only applies to Truma, but other items like forbidden fats, and in other contexts, chametz, it would not apply. A lot of Achrayim say that we don't even have to address the issue that anointing yourself is considered drinking, because remember, we're talking about a chametz that was rendered inedible, and the only reason why you wouldn't be allowed to eat it is because it's considered significant. Anointing yourself would not be deeming the chametz ingredient significant as a food. So therefore it would be permitted and we wouldn't even have to get involved in the issue of Sicha Kishtia at all. Rav Moshe Feinstein also says in Chelek Yerideya, he's talking about using a soap, not even on the Pesach context. He's talking about using a soap that has non-kosher ingredients in it. It was made from chelev, from forbidden fats or other non-kosher ingredients. Rav Moshe Feinstein would permit the dish soap because it was already rendered inedible to a person or to a dog. And even if you'd want to eat it without kavana, let's say you wash your dishes with a non-kosher soap, and perhaps there's residual soap left on the dish, even if you would inadvertently eat the soap, it would not be rendering it achshavei, like the Trumas Hadeshin says, it would be as if you're putting the quill in your mouth, and that would not be rendering it chashav, and therefore it would be mutter. It would be mutter to use any soap or any dish soap, even if there's residual non-kosher soap left on the dish, it would be okay, it's not a problem, because the soap was rendered inedible. This is even not in the context of Pesach, and the fact that you might inadvertently ingest some of the non-kosher ingredients is not a problem because your intent is not to eat it. You're certainly not declaring it as a food. And the same thing would apply l'chora to cosmetics, lipstick, or even toothpaste. All of these items, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, is not an issue if they contain chametz ingredients because they were rendered inedible. And even if you inadvertently swallow some of the toothpaste, some of the mouthwash, or you inadvertently swallow some of the cosmetics, some of the lipstick, it wouldn't be an issue because your intent was not to eat it. It was nifsal from achilas kelev. It's not edible. That was Rav Moshe Feinstein's heter, and meikur hadin, it would be mutter. I saw in a pesek called the Chazon Nachum, he's a more recent pesek, that he said, and this is an idea that people toss around, that there would seemingly be a distinction between chametz that was intrinsically nifsal, because the examples of the Gemara were that the bread was rotten before Pesach, or that you were charchoi, that you singed the chametz before Pesach, so the chametz was inedible intrinsically, versus when the chametz was only rendered inedible because you put bitter things into the chametz. Somebody could perhaps draw that distinction based on the Nesivus. The Nesivus says that if he's not discussing chametz, he's talking about food. If you have non-kosher food, let's talk about the forbidden fats, the chelev. If a person has non-kosher food, the Rambam makes a distinction between if the non-kosher fats were intrinsically rendered inedible, versus if you just put something bitter. Says the Nesivus, if it was intrinsically rendered inedible, then it's as if it's not kosher. It's as if it's not food anymore. It's not considered non-kosher food anymore. Versus if a person just puts bitter herbs into the forbidden fat, then, says the Nesivus, when you swallow the forbidden fat that's boiling hot, that it's not edible because it's boiling hot, or because you put some external, some poisel, some bitter herb into the fat where it's not enjoyable to eat it, over there, it's considered forbidden food. It's just that you ate it in not the derech achila. You didn't eat it in the normal way. So some people make such a distinction. Rav Moshe Feinstein is clearly not making this distinction. And even the Trumas Hadeshin, when he talked about the beer, he talked about the ink, that the base of the ink was from chametz beer, and they put in chemicals that render it inedible. They all seem not to be making this distinction. They seem to say that since it was rendered inedible regardless before Pesach set in, so the prohibition of chametz never takes effect because it wasn't edible regardless of the reason. It wasn't edible upon the onset of Pesach. That is the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and that would be the heter, the Me'ikur Hadin. The Mincha Shlomo, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, so he's mafakfik, he's not sure, because maybe the chametz, the ingredient of chametz that we have in these products, maybe it really is considered edible, at least to a dog. He says it's hard to assess what the Chachamim meant when they said that it wasn't edible to a dog. I was just speaking to Shaike Newman last night, I was discussing with him, so he also mentioned that nowadays our American dogs, they're not tolerant to eat garbage. But in the old days, a dog would eat anything. So Rav Shlomo Zalman makes the same point. It's hard for us to assess what Chazal, what the Chachamim considered to be edible and what not to be considered edible. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, there are many examples in the Gemara that we would not have expected those things to be considered edible, but the Gemara still considers it to be edible. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was not as sure as Rav Moshe Feinstein was regarding what's considered edible and what's not considered edible. So Rav Shlomo Zalman had a different perspective why it would be permitted to take medicine that has chametz ingredients on Pesach. So he says, and this is in the middle of item Yud Aleph, that he wants to dan that the heter is mitzar acher, a different angle. The ulai blias hagalgal lurafua, perhaps taking the pill for medicine is ein derech achila. It's not the normal way of eating something. So what that means is the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says if you would take matzah and you would wrap it up in a little piece of paper and eat the matzah, karchai besiv, you would wrap it up in some other item, so you would not fulfill the obligation of eating matzah, even though technically you ingested the matzah and you have the matzah in your stomach, but you didn't eat it the normal way. You didn't eat it derech achila. You didn't eat it the normal way. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to posit that if a person swallows a pill, because the pill was not meant to be eaten as food, and it wasn't meant to be chewed, so perhaps there'd be a distinction between a chewable pill versus a pill that you swallow, but says Rav Shlomo Zalman, medicine that was not meant to be chewed, it was just meant to be swallowed quickly, was never meant to be eaten derech achila, so the permit would be derech achila. So that's what Shlomo Zalman wants to say. So Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish were saying that they were assuming it's not considered edible, so it's not considered chametz at all. So the only issue they were addressing was if eating it is considered deeming it significant. So to that they respond that eating it for medicine purpose is not deeming it significant. Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't so sure because perhaps it really is edible, at least to a dog. So maybe it is still considered chametz. Maybe it really is chametz. The Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein were assuming that it's not considered chametz anymore. Rav Shlomo Zalman is not so sure. Maybe it's still considered to be chametz. So why would it be permitted to take medicine that has a chametz ingredient? So Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to suggest because it's not derech achila. It's not the normal way of eating. So just like if a person swallows the matzah abnormally, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah, because it wasn't an act of eating. So perhaps we can apply the same rationale to a pill. If a person swallows a pill, it's not the normal way of eating something because the pill was not meant to be chewed. It was meant to be swallowed quickly. It wasn't meant to be ingested as a food. So it's not derech achila. But nevertheless, Rav Shlomo Zalman is not so sure about that either, because if a person swallows matzah without chewing the matzah, imagine such a thing. So he would be yotze eating the matzah. So if a person wraps the matzah in a tissue and swallows it where it never touched his beis ablia, that's not derech achila. But if the person swallows the matzah without chewing, so that you are yotze, that is considered derech achila. So maybe a pill is derech achila. But I wrote here in item Yud Beis that Soif Devarav, at the end of his tshuva, so he decides that since the pill was created not to be chewed, sometimes if you chew the pill, it actually interferes with the medicinal quality of the pill. Since you're not supposed to chew the pill, so therefore swallowing the pill is not derech achila. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, perhaps it still is considered to be chametz, but the reason why it would be permitted to take it on Pesach is because it's not derech achila. That would be the permit of Rav Shlomo Zalman. But there's a difference now, because the Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that to eat something not derech achila, imagine if I take something that's not kosher and I eat it shaloi k'derech achila, it's still not mutter, it's still aser derabbanan to do that. So the Gemara in Pesachim says that for a choila she'im by sakana, for a person who's sick, he's not deathly ill, it's not a sakana, it's not pikuach nefesh, but he's sick, he's bedridden. So the halacha is that he's allowed to be nene from something that's aser shaloi k'derech hana. Or likewise, he'd be allowed to eat something shaloi k'derech achila. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman is dan in item Yud Gimel. See, he dans, he assesses how sick does a person have to be to be considered a chayla she'ein by sakana regarding this halacha. He's not entirely sure, but for sure we can apply the rule of Shabbos that if the person is bedridden or the person has a migraine or something, some severe, as opposed to minor aches and pains, something that's really interfering with the person's productivity, he would be allowed to take medicine that has a chametz ingredient because it's permitted to violate the issur derabanan if it's shaloi kederech achila. So, in summary, we really have two different angles how to permit taking chametz, medicine that contains chametz. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein and possibly the Chazon Ish, the chametz is not considered to be chametz anymore. And taking something for medicine is not considered taking an act, is not an act of achshavei. It's not considered deeming it food. It will be analogous to the ink in the Trumas Adeshin's case. So according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it will be permitted, even if there's no sakana, it will be permitted to take medicine that contains a chametz ingredient on Pesach. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, he wasn't as sure, because perhaps the chametz is really edible still. It's hard for us to assess what's considered edible and what's not considered edible, at least to a dog, to an animal. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman says that the main heter is shelo kederech achila, but that would depend now that the person has to be ill in order to take the medicine to violate the issur derabanan that's associated with eating something shelo kederech achila. So those would be the two basic heterim. So the final psak is that be'ikur hadin, it would be mutter to use soaps and medicines, cosmetics, because they're nifsal from achilas kelev. That's based on Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish, and it wouldn't be considered achshavei because you're not eating it for the purpose of food, even in the case of the medicine that you're ingesting. But since there is a tzad, because there is a possibility that you're able to separate, to somehow separate the chametz, the alcohol content from the shampoo or from the other item, or perhaps Rosh Shlomo Zalman argues that it still is considered edible. So that's why people make the effort to try to find something that has a Passover hechsher to it, just in order to avoid these other potential issues. But b'diyeved, and especially under extenuating situations, you would certainly be permitted to rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein and on the Chazon Ish, and especially for a choyla she'im by sakana, to be able to use these products, even if you would know for sure that they have chametz ingredients in them, because we can assume that they're not considered edible, and you're using them, it's mutter bahana, and even if you're ingesting them, it's not considered an act of achila, you're not deeming it significant, and it's not an achshavei. Okay, yasha koyach, everybody. So next week, yasha koyach, thank you so much. Yasha koyach, Mr. Shem, next week we'll talk about the Haggadah for the Seder. Okay, yasha koyach, everybody. Sure.